This week on the Readwell podcast, I have many important announcements to make about the community that we are building, some that might affect you if you've been around for a long time. I am passionate about creating the best place online for people who want to become thoughtful and thorough readers, and in doing so, have developed several tools, one that I've built myself called Highlightish, and I'm going to be talking about that today. As a big announcement, I have actually decided to discontinue that project, which might be surprising to you, but you'll understand why once we get into the show. All right, let's get philosophical. Welcome to this week's episode of the Read Well podcast. My name is Eddie Hood, and I'm your host, where I believe it's more important to read well than to be well read. So grab your favorite book, open up your notes, and let's get ready to learn something fascinating. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Readwell podcast. My name is Eddie Hood, and this is episode 44 of the show. I'm so grateful that you are here. We are up to 34 Apple testimonials, feedbacks, reviews, whatever you want to call it, which has been great, and you're all just been being so kind with your time to go on and do that. So we are at 4.7 out of 5 stars right now, and that is just fantastic news. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning of this show, I have decided to put an end to the business that I've been building called Highlightish. I'm going to talk to you really quickly about what Highlightish was, why I built it, and why I am planning on stopping it. I also want to talk about what that means if you're a current Highlightish user. I'm also going to share with you today some interesting things I've learned over the past week from my reading that I think you'll find fascinating. We're going to be digging into René Descartes, the philosopher. I've got a really great quote for you from the German writer Goethe. And then I've got a great book recommendation, something a little out of left field, a fictional work this week that is a nice sort of slow burn thriller, like a courtroom drama thriller. And no, it is not Grisham, although I love Grisham. It's great. But this is a book that will really, really set the stage for a beautiful reading experience. Okay, let's get into all of these updates. Last year, I decided to learn how to write code because I am a crazy person. And I thought it would be really nice to be able to build a tool that would help me capture my reading passages and also make the most of them. Now, yes, I was aware of all of the other tools like Readwise and Obsidian and Notion and all these things, but my hope was to build a tool that was a little more nuanced for what I needed as a person who read nonfiction books. And the hope of Highlightish was to capture those passages by book that you read, and then to organize them in type of category and tags and what have you, and then be able to use that information to write well, whether you're writing essays or blog posts or different kinds of topics or pieces. Now, over the past couple of years, as I've been learning to program and build this thing, the competition out there has not only gotten much, much better, but has managed to create and perform the kinds of services that made Highlightish unique. And so one of the things that I was really working on was when you import a highlight, for example, it would grab all of the metadata of that book from the publisher to the year it was published, and it would create your MLA and your APA citations and those kinds of things. Well, with today's technology and the integrations between apps, it's just not making sense for me to continue putting time and money into this tool because you can use so many platforms with tools like Zotero, which will manage all of your referencing and sourcing and citing. So all that needs to be said here is that I am trying to shut down this project now so that I can spend more time building a quality community. It is taking time and money on my part to keep Highlightish going. So I'm going to pull that down and put more energy into creating better content for you here on the podcast and on the YouTube channel. And then most importantly, the thing that I'm most proud of is my weekly newsletter that goes out. I put a lot of energy and heart into making that something that is a useful piece of information in your inbox every Wednesday. So quickly, if you are a current Highlightish user, I will be wrapping this project up within the next month or two. I will be emailing all of the Highlightish users and letting you know what's going on. Now, the good news is there aren't very many users yet. And of the people that are using the tool, it's not being used extensively. There's not a lot of data in the system. So if you are at all concerned about any loss of data, please feel free to contact me and we will get that sorted out for you. But I'm shutting this down before it gets too out of control because I don't want people losing critical data. So the next question that begs to be asked is, what am I going to be doing for my note-taking and book notes? Well, I have been always paying attention to all the tools out there because it's what I do, and I have used multiple systems, as I've mentioned on the show, from paper-based Zettelkasten's to digital note-taking platforms, and I am putting together sort of an optimized workflow that is simple and easy to follow. And in the future, a lot of my content on the channel and on the podcast will be around how I am taking notes, how I am reading books, and how I am turning those passages into hopefully useful ideas. So if you're the kind of person that wants to make the most out of tools like Obsidian or Zotero or what have you, I will be creating more content related to that. But I think this is a tricky thing because there are already lots of videos out there on these platforms, and I'm not interested in creating tutorials per se, so I really need to put some time and thought behind how I can make that content unique and useful so that I'm not just parroting what's already been said. Since we are going down the road of updates this week, I'd like to tell you about how I've been spending some of my time. I have been working on an essay that I am very interested in. I'm interested in the idea that the philosopher René Descartes suggested. He was the philosopher that was famous for coining the term, I think, therefore I am. So in Latin, cogito ergo sum. And the idea that he had when he came up with this was that he was trying to figure out how you know something to be true. How do you become rational about something and really know that it's true? And he realized that in life, he could pretty much doubt everything because he didn't really trust his senses. He didn't trust tactile information because you can be lied to, your senses can deceive you, and so on. He realized that he could doubt everything. But what he could not doubt was the fact that he was doubting, that he was thinking, that he was having some sort of conscious experience. And he realized that because he's thinking, that in itself was proof that at least he existed, that he was not a figment of imagination, and so on. I know, it's heady stuff. But the reason why I bring this up is because I'm writing an essay to jump off of this idea. As you all know, I've been working through a lot of interesting personal challenges where I have had to question my own personal beliefs and try to begin thinking for myself, which, as you probably know, is no easy task, to question your beliefs, to question all of the things that you've been taught by people that you love. And so I have found that the ideas in my head, even though I have made changes in my life, I don't fully understand what I'm thinking or doing, because the ideas in my head are sort of intangible. They are mixing with other ideas and memories. And so I have found that by writing my ideas down, either in a blog post or an essay, I have to contend with those ideas and I have to fight with them. And I have to ask myself, is that what I am actually believing? Am I trying to say X, Y, or Z? So there's this real value in writing things down. And I think this is why people have always journaled throughout the years, not just as a way of recording your life, but a way of trying to figure out what it is that you think. And so that leads into the essay that I'm currently working on. I'm taking Descartes' idea, I think, therefore I am, and I'm elevating it. Well, I don't know that I'm elevating it, but I'm adding the concept of I write, therefore I am, or in Latin would be scribo, ergo sum. And the concept of the essay is that until you take a moment to write down your thoughts and get them on paper and question them, you actually haven't confronted your thoughts. And until you do that, you're not having your own thoughts. And so it's really, really important that you sort of have this conversation with yourself. Until you do that, you're not actually thinking critically. And if you're not thinking critically, you don't really exist because you're not your own individual. I got thinking about this. I'd like to share a quick passage with you from Descartes' book, A Discourse on the Method. It's just a short passage, but the reason why I like him is because he spent a lot of time thinking about how he thought. And there's a lot of value in asking yourself, how do I think? Why do I think the way I do? And he came up with a system for his investigations and his approach to knowledge. But in this little passage here, he says, I have fashioned a method by which, it seems to me, I have a way of adding progressively to my knowledge and raising it by degrees to the highest point that the limitations of my mind and the short span of life allotted to me will permit it to reach. And that's just to say that he started at ground level questioning everything. And once he knew something to be true, he would add to it and grow and become more intelligent. And so I'm challenging myself to try and do that. maybe I'm having a midlife crisis. I don't know. I'm 43 years old. Maybe I am freaking out. But I'm at a point in my life where I really want to know things. I really have questions about life. This is why I'm going back to school to get a philosophy degree. This is why I'm so passionate about reading books. There is so much great knowledge out there, but it must be questioned. I'd like to take just a second to hit pause on this show to tell you about the readwellpodcast.com. If you go there, you can subscribe to my weekly newsletter on reading deeply. Simply go to thereadwellpodcast.com, enter your email, and I'll send you a message every Wednesday at 9 a.m. on how to become a deep and thoughtful reader. Thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show. As promised, I'd like to share with you something interesting I learned this week from a German writer named Goethe, who said, well, actually, this quote comes from a book that we are reading in book club called The Denial of Death, which, of course, is not the book recommendation for this week. It is a fantastic book. But in that, he references Goethe. And the quote says, as Goethe put it, we must plunge into experience and then reflect on the meaning of it. All reflection and no plunging drives us mad. All plunging and no reflection, and we are brutes. So if I were to break this down and apply it to our reading community, I would like to assign some meaning to each of these words, reflection and plunging. Let's call reflection thinking and reading books, and let's call plunging living life and going out and gathering sort of empirical evidence, doing things and learning things. So if we're to take it that way, as Goethe mentions, all reflection, which would be to say all book reading, all thinking, right? And no plunging. In other words, all you do is read books and you don't go out and try things or learn things. That will drive you mad. This is the case of just sitting in your office all day long and doing nothing, not trying what you're learning, just reading book after book after book. This is bad, according to Goethe, and of course how I'm putting a spin on it. I think it's incredibly important that we not only read well, but that we apply the ideas. Now, the second half of this quote is to flip those around and to say all plunging, which is to insinuate that all you do is try things. All you do is go out and do, but you never reflect. You never hit pause to read books, do research, to think through what you're doing, maybe do some journaling. If this is how you live, then you're a brute, according to the writer. And I agree with that, right? If you only go out and you do stuff, yes, you are learning by way of experiencing life, but there is so much to be learned from the people who have come before us. And sometimes we can come off as a brute because we are not educated in the entire conversation. We might go out and have an opinion on something and just forcibly share that opinion and tell people why we think we're right. And if we haven't taken the time to read books or think about that argument, and not only to consider what would support our argument, but to consider the other side of that viewpoint, then we can oftentimes come off as brutes. So I thought you would all like that passage today. Again, this is from Goethe, and it is the concept of finding a balance between reading and thinking and living your life and doing. Okay, let's get into this week's book recommendation. I really liked this book. It is not a famous book that I know of, but it is, well, if I read the back of it, it did win the Faulkner Award, so it's definitely got some credentials behind it, which is good. But it's written by David Gutterson, G-U-T-E-R-S-O-N, David Gutterson, and it's called Snow Falling on Cedars. It's a beautiful book because it is a courtroom drama that has a slow burn sort of thriller aspect to it. There's a murder that happens and you're trying to figure out what's going on here. But I would like to just read the back description of the book here because it's going to do much better than I could at this point. It's been a couple years since I've read this book, so I want to get this right for you. It says, San Pedro Island, north of Puget Sound, is a place so isolated that no one who lives there can afford to make enemies. But in 1954, a local fisherman is found suspiciously drowned, and a Japanese-American named Kabuo Miyamoto is charged with his murder. In the course of the ensuing trial, it becomes clear that what is at stake is more than one man's guilt. For on San Pedro, memory grows as thickly as cedar trees and the fields of ripe strawberries. Memories of a charmed love affair between a white boy and the Japanese girl who grew up to become Kabua's wife. Memories of land desired, paid for, and lost. Above all, San Pedro is haunted by the memory of what happened to its Japanese residents during World War II, when an entire community was sent into exile while its neighbors watched. Okay, so it is this sort of whodunit courtroom situation, and I know I usually talk about nonfiction here, but I want to remind you all, and you already know this, but sometimes I have to remind myself, the beauty and the power of great fiction. And I really think Snow Falling on Cedars is a book that will wrap around you and give you a great story to read. So check it out, David Gutterson's Snow Falling on Cedars. Okay, everybody, that's it for this week's episode of the Read Well Podcast. If you have a moment, take a second to head over to thereadwellpodcast.com to see all of the new events and the new posts that are being put there. And if you are interested, you can subscribe to my weekly newsletter. I send that out every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. And the whole point of the newsletter is to share ideas and thoughts on how to read closely, on how to be a deep reader, to slow down, to improve your focus, and to really get the most out of a book. And while you're there, you'll also see several other things. We have a link up in the navigator for our community. If you'd like to be a part of my private reading community, you can do that. That's where I host my book clubs. And I've also got a new feature on the website where I have started to post my book notes. So I've two books posted there right now. I've done Walden as well as Oliver Berkman's 4,000 Weeks of Time Management for Mortals. This is the extensive list of the passages I found useful, as well as my analysis of those passages. Once again, thank you for being here and for taking the time to head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. Let me know how I'm doing. And until next week, as always, read slowly, take notes, and apply the ideas. I'll see you next time. If you'd like to take your reading to the next level, then head on over to thereadwellpodcast.com. There you'll find daily posts on how to read well. You'll also get access to all of my book notes and tools for becoming a better reader. And as always, don't forget to read slowly, take notes, and apply the ideas. Thank you for listening to the Read Well Podcast.